So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
But last Sunday, we talked about the power of ordinary. And we took it out of, excuse me, I apologize. We took it out of 2 Kings chapter 2 when the water was sick and Elisha said, bring me an ordinary bowl with some salt. And with the ordinary, extraordinary came out of it and he healed the waters that were sick around the town. And when God does a miracle, he starts out with the ordinary. The supernatural is your natural combined with the super of God. And we also talked about that there is no kingdom power without kingdom obedience. And some of us want miracles without obedience. And some of us want blessings without compliance. And God is not your parent in the fact that your parent, if you threw a big enough fit, would give you what you want. No, God is more like my parent, that if I threw a fit, he'd give me what I didn't want. Come on, somebody. And then we talked about that, what's the problem in most people's life is most people want relief, but not a cure. That we want to treat the symptom, but we don't want the cure. And so this morning I want to continue on with that. So I got very creative about this message. I'm just calling it part two. So 2 Corinthians chapter 4, go there with me. Now I'm going to lose some of y'all right here. Because the MSG, that's not something that's in the cooking. That is the Message Bible that I'm going to use this morning. And some of y'all, I'm going to lose you. No, Pastor, you ought to use the King James Version, the one that Jesus used. Or the NIV, the one that Paul preached out of. No, I just like the wording of this, and so this is why I want to use it. And so let's read it together. Or not, you don't read it with me. You just look along. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around, and here's what I want to get to, in unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone confusing God's incomparable power with us. That's why we get to carry this around. Because it's ordinary people carrying an extraordinary gospel, an extraordinary that which is in us. As it is, there's not much chance of that. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. Look at the neighbor you don't like and say he's talking about you right now. You know for yourselves that we're not much to look at. We've been surrounded and battered. Are you ready? We've been surrounded and battered by troubles. But we're not demoralized. We're not sure what to do. But we know that God knows what to do. We've been spiritually terrorized. Come on, somebody. We've been spiritually terrorized, but God hasn't left our side. We've been thrown down, but we haven't broken. Look at somebody and say, I ain't broken. I'm still here. What they did to Jesus, they do to us. Trial and torture, mockery and murder. What Jesus did among them, he does in us. He lives. He lives. Thank you, musicians. Anybody who cannot understand that and get excited about that, didn't realize what they were just reading. That's why I chose the message. I have multiple parallel Bibles, and as I looked at this passage, I wanted to use this because it gives us what I want to talk about today. The part two of ordinary, the power of ordinary. Because he said, if you look at us, we're not that very bright, but we carry around a precious message around in unadorned pots of our ordinary lives. And we do that to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power to us. But how many know they still do it? Because still people look at your life and try to compare it, or try to, they look at individuals and think, oh, they're of great purpose of God, and this one is not. No, what is inside of us is what is good. Jesus said, if you see anything good in me, it's because of my Father. See, Paul is saying that it's not about us, and we know who we are, and we know who we're not. See, some people don't know who they are, and others don't know who they're not. Does that make sense? Pastor, you're double talking. No. Some people think that, you know, it's like one guy says, thou thinkest thou art a humdinger, but thou art not. Thou art just a dinger. See, some of us think that we're big shots, and you know what a big shot is? A big shot is a little shot away from home. Some of us think that, well, we're a mighty oak. No, no, baby. You're just a nut that wouldn't give up your ground. Hey. God is using the ordinary, unadorned pots of clay to carry around this precious message to make people know that it is not about the pot. It is about the God. It is about what's in the pot. Come on, somebody. There is a reason why God uses the ordinary, and here it is. If it's too supernatural, it robs glory from God. Because then you begin to worship the gift or the miracle and not the God of the gift or the God of the miracle or the gift giver. You worship the miracle. You worship the event. And that God doesn't want you to worship the event. He wants you to worship Him. The miracle is an offspring of a relationship with Him. Point number one, if you're taking notes. We are ordinary, unadorned clay pots. Now here's the problem is, Pastor, I'm all that in a bag of chips. No, you're not, baby. Pastor, I'm all that a bag of chips and some government cheese. No, you're not, baby. You're going to find out your cheese is moldy and your chips are stale. No, you're not. You're not all that. But here's what I do want you to understand, that God doesn't mind that you may be a little overweight. Thank you, Jesus. I'm saying that for myself. Now, He might not mind that you're a little bit overweight, and here's why. Because if you get strung out on the beauty of your physique, if you get strung out on the... Now listen, I'm not saying we ought not to try. I mean, you know, I'm not going to Walmart when folks just don't even try. A brush ain't seen their hair in a week. Come on. Ain't took a bath, all disheveled, nothing matches. Come on, somebody. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all are the person I'm talking about. You just wake up and go. You know, I didn't know we wasn't even trying anymore. If you get all strung out on your own physique, you will think that they love you because of the way that you look and not because of the anointing that's flowing through you. If you get all strung out on your physique, then you'll think that they are, you know, here's what I tell preachers. Young preachers, I'll tell this. Don't, listen, if women come on to you, wait a minute, we're talking about church. Yes, I'm talking about church. If women come on to you, it ain't because you look that good. It's because of the anointing that's inside of you. I'm trying to help somebody. Because the anointing is attractive. See, you can be toe back, jacked up. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But if you have the anointing, people will look over the pot. If the goodness of God is coming out of you. When you get hungry enough, you don't have to wait for the fine china to come out. When you go to the doctor, it doesn't matter that they hadn't styled their hair today and their face is broke out in acne. If they are the best in their field, if they're effective in their craft, that's who you want to work on you, and that's who you want to be a part of. You go to folks who don't even have a good bedside manner. But they're the best, and that's what you want. And that's what Paul is saying. That don't get strung out on the way that you look because you are ordinary. That's why God wants to use ordinary people like you and me to proclaim this glorious message of hope and hurting to the world. Because the world can relate to you and me. If I'm glad that the Bible is not full of people who never messed up. I'm glad that God uses messed up people, jacked up backgrounds. Somebody needs to hear me. Because you didn't come today to see a GQ pastor. You come today hopefully looking for some hope. Because it's the anointing that makes the difference. It's the anointing in somebody's life, that which is inside the ordinary, unadorned clay pot. The anointing, it makes the difference. It's the anointing that will turn a song into a song. It's the anointing that will turn a teaching into a proverb, a sermon into a message, turn a bottle of oil into a healing agent, a preacher's hand into a surgeon's hands, turn a building into a church, turn a shoe salesman into a gospel preacher, turn a life into a lesson, a tragedy into a testimony, a mess into a message. It is the anointing that will cause a prayer line to be changed into a power line. It is the anointing that will turn a poor preacher into a powerful patriot. It is the anointing. It's the anointing that turns the foolishness mind into confounding wisdom. Turn a horn of oil into a healing stream. Turn a musical instrument into an implement of praise. Turn a Bible into a sword. And turn a victim into a victor. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. And you need it. And I need it every day of my life. If we favor them, they will know that God brought you out. He can bring them out. But I was born on the right side of the track. I wasn't born on the right side. I wasn't born on the right side of the track. But I know that my Redeemer lives. And He is redeeming me and has redeemed me. Point number two is this. Don't blow your own horn. 1 Corinthians 1, 26 through 31. Again, the message. It says, take a good look, friends, at who you were when you got called into this life of Christianity. Is what he's talking about. I don't see many of the brightest and the best among you. Don't get mad at me. I'm just reading the Bible. He said, not many. Influential. Not many from high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks and exploits and abuses? And my God, somebody hear me. And some have said, Pastor, I've been abused, so therefore God can't use me. But this text says that God loves using people like you. God loves using people who have been abused. Because when God begins to use you, you won't stand up and say, look at me. You'll say, stand up and say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, if it had not been for Jesus inside of me, everything that you see good in me is because of Jesus and not because of me. Hey! God chose these nobodies.
Look at your neighbor and say, I know he's talking about you now.
He chose nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by with blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have. Everything, God. If it had not been for you, I'd have lost my mind. If it had not been for you, I'd be strung out. If it had not been for you, I might be over in a ditch somewhere. But everything that we have, right thinking and right living, a clean slate and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. How can I get up here? Oh, it's because I've been clean, and it's because I've been faithful, and it's because I've been godly for so many years. No, it's because God, when I said yes to Him, gave me a clean slate and a fresh start. But I am not going to begin today by blowing my own horn. I'm going to blow the horn of the trumpet for God Himself. Woo! It's obvious. God deliberately chose men and women that were cultural overlooked. That culture overlooks and exploits and abuses. See, if you're going to brag on anybody, brag on God. If you're going to brag on anything, brag on God. It's by His hand and Christ's blood that I can stand before you today and preach a glorious gospel, not because I'm perfect, but because He was perfect and He is perfect, and His blood is what's covered my mess. It's His blood that's covered my sin. It's His blood that gave me a testimony. I went through a test but got a testimony out of it. Because when I came to Him, He gave me a clean slate and a fresh start. I know, listen, somebody needs to hear me. I know what I'm capable of. The good and the bad. I know what I'm capable of. I know, but by the grace of God, I am what I am today, not because of my capability, but my availability to the grace and the mercy of Almighty God. I understand that I'm not the brightest, but I understand that if I will allow God to use the ordinary, He can use me because I am ordinary. Hallelujah to God. God, ha ha. Can I tell you that God has taken me so far beyond my own ability that I must rely on God? When we moved into this building, it wasn't but a year or so. Pastor John was our youth pastor at the time, and he came into my office and he said, Pastor, do you ever feel like you're over your head? And I laughed. I said, every day of my life, I feel like I'm over my head. But can I tell you that when you learn how to swim, it don't matter how deep it is. If you can swim in 3 foot, you can swim in 100 foot. It doesn't matter how deep it is. You just got to know how to swim, and then don't grow weary in your well-doing. Don't become exhausted while you swim and just swim. Come on. Because if you could have done it, then you would get all the glory. You would get all the praise. But if you know that it was the hand of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God, you can't get any glory. You can't toot your own horn. You can't blow your own horn. You got to say, if it had not been for the Lord on my side. God has taken me so far. Nothing. So anything good you see in me, it's because of God's grace on an ordinary vessel. Paul didn't say, I'm doing this because I've got it together. Paul didn't say, well, I have my charts and I have my vision board. I have my mission statement. I have my projections. I have my supply and demand spreadsheets. I've dotted every I and crossed every T. No, it's only by the glory of God and the grace of God. Can I tell you that the world is not impressed by your degrees? I'm for education. I don't have an education, but my children do. And I'm paying for their education.
I thought it was real strange. When I was in Uruguay, I've never been to seminary. But when I was in Uruguay, I spoke to those who were in seminary. Come on, somebody. Why? Ordinary. I can't have, I don't, you know, most of the time when people go to seminary, it's usually cemetery. But anyway, we'll move on from that. I know folks with more degrees than a thermometer. But they're not doing anything with their degrees. I told you a few weeks ago, I learned through my studies and through the taking the exams for the Church of God to become an ordained bishop and study, and I still study to show myself approved. But I learned that the Jordan River crest at 37.2 feet. Yeah, makes me feel smart. But I've never used it in a sermon except for to make fun of it. Why? I've never talked to a crackhead and said, you know, if you give your life to Jesus. No, I don't want to. I said, well, do you know the Jordan River crest at 37.2? Oh, you know what? I believe I'm going to give my heart to Jesus now because of that information. No, that doesn't impress anybody. What impresses people is what, and let me rephrase that. I'm not looking to impress people. I'm looking to impact people. And when you want to impress people, you tell them about your victories. But if you want to impact people, you tell them about your struggle. You let them know that I'm just ordinary. I'm just a somebody trying to, I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody whose name is Jesus. Huh? No matter how much we dress up, we just ordinary, unadorned clay pots. It's what comes out of us that matters. We are earthen vessels with an extraordinary substance in us and flowing through us, and it should be God. I now live by faith in the Son of God. It's the ordinary person that says, God, if you can use anything, use me. You know, if God would have showed you where you were going to be today, some of you would have just wigged out and tripped out. Some of you would have tried to take a shortcut to where God's trying to take you. But I've learned that when people try to shortcut, they normally short circuit. They usually burn out. God has a process. So that when he takes you through the process, when you get to the other side, you recognize it was the hand of God using the ordinary and the supernatural. Come on, somebody. See, it's the ordinary person that says, if you can use anything in me, use me. Why? I'm flawed. Look at your neighbor and say, I knew it. I knew Pastor was all flawed. I can take it, man. I got broad shoulders. I'm flawed. I'm messed up. Pastor, you look like you got it together. I'm messed up. I come from a family that's jacked up. I don't have the right credentials. That's why when I get into certain circles, I feel intimidated. And I feel inferior because I'm not from the right. From the right credentials. I've told this story many times, but we were at a missions trip and we were doing leadership training and I got there by mistake. And we sat around the table with a bunch of big whopper whooper people. And it's not a matter of if you graduated from Lee University or Lee College, it's just a matter of what year you graduated. And they started around, well, what year did you graduate? Oh, I graduated cum laude in 1989. First of all, I graduated high school, thank the Lord. And it started coming on around to me and Sherry. And everybody had graduated from Lee who was in this circle. And they got to me and Sherry and my wife, for those of you who don't know, is Sherry. And my wife spoke before I did. She said, what year did y'all graduate? And my wife said, oh, we're not educated. We're just anointed. And again, I'm not discounting education. Everybody in this day and time needs education. Because what you don't get by revelation, you get by situation. But what I'm trying to tell you
is that I didn't come with a pristine background. I didn't come with me having all of the right breaks and introducing me to the right people. Because the way my mind is, I will forget your name even after I'm introduced to you. So I don't remember that I was introduced to somebody who was famous. But by your grace, I will be who you've called me to be. By his grace. Not what mama said. Not what my account dad said. Not by what your strung out auntie said. Not your loser ex said. Not what society says. Not what my old homeroom teacher said, that I'd be in jail before I was 21. It was after I was 21. And I didn't go there to stay. I just went there to visit. Come on, somebody. It's not what the homeroom said. It is by the Lord's grace. It's by what God says, and it takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of the words from the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. I don't know how you've done what you've done in my life, God, but thank you for using and loving the ordinary. Thank you. I sat in a room with one guy who pastored it was about 30 of us, and I was fortunate enough to sit in a room. He pastored a church of 10,000. And as he got up there, he said, "If you know, I grew a church to 10,000, and I'm just, you know, if you had a scale of 1 to 10, I'm probably like a 6 or a 7. He said, "Now I thought, my God, I'm sub. If you're a 6 or 7, I'm like a sub 7. I'm like a minus. But here's what I know, that when God uses ordinary, the ordinary can't boast about it was them. They have to give all the glory to God. See, church, when people see God using somebody with your background, they will know it's only by God's grace. God says, "I chose to use you." When people see you with your jacked up background, folks will know I can use anything if I use them. I can use the sophisticated and the intellectual, but I can also use somebody who doesn't speak proper English and who failed public speaking. I can use them if I choose to. Somebody that doesn't use proper grammar. Somebody asked me, they said, "How many languages do you speak?" I said, "Properly, none." Me being Pentecostal, I said, "Check that. I speak one, and that's just tongues." I'm not saying that we should not try to do better. I'm just taking away your excuses why God can't use you. I'm taking away your excuse why God can't use you, and why what God did for somebody else, he wouldn't do for you. Well, God, I just took away your excuses, dude. Point number 3. Don't ever confuse exhaustion with weakness. The Lord spoke to this to me Saturday a week ago, and I shared this last Sunday. As I was dealing with some things and just pressure and stress and stuff that was getting on my last nerve. You know, for those of you who may be newer, I just want you to know that according to research, pastoring is one of the top 5 most stressful jobs in America. And ranking up there, here's 2 more. I can't remember the other 2. But one of them is a college president Another one is the athletic director of college institutions. And so we're right up there with them. Hallelujah. And that's why people are, why you got pastors committing suicide because of the pressure. Listen, I ain't going to let none of y'all kill me. And I ain't ever thought about killing myself. I thought about killing some of the folk going to be in the 11 o'clock service. I don't think about killing me. I like me. I thought about killing other people. Amen. Pastor, am I on that list? You'll never know. But I got mad because I was feeling weak. Because I was letting things get to me. And the Lord said, don't confuse exhaustion with weakness. I thought I was being weak. What really was, as I was exhausted. Now we have somebody in this section over here who runs marathons. You know, and they just love to run. Just, ooh, it was a great run today. Okay, wonderful. I hate running. Only reason I run is after donuts. I run to Krispy Kreme. Come on, somebody. I saw the hot light on or something. Amen. I come across this book that said how to train for a marathon. I thought 26 miles. I thought I ain't ever going to live 26 miles away from a donut store. I ain't got to learn that. I don't have to learn that. Shoot. But I can tell you that, and you don't mind me using you. This is who she is. This is who it is. And I can tell you that Courtney can run. She runs 5 and 10 miles in a day. But can I tell you, that's strong, man. That's strong running. And then sometimes she'll just publish how fast she was going. I was like, I don't even drive that fast. And she's fast, man. But can I tell you, even the strong get tired. I'm trying to help somebody. You feel like you're weak, but it might not be weakness. It just might be that you're exhausted. It might be that you're not weak. It's just that you're tired, that you're exhausted. Even the strong get weary. Even the strong get tired. I've been in the gym and saw men and one woman pick up like 400 pounds. You saw a woman? Yeah, she was. Mm-hmm. She looked like a man. But anyway, that's another story. But they picked up 400 pounds, and one dude pressed it out a few times. I just quit working out with my 50. And just watched. He started out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Somebody help me. Because you start out strong. But sometimes life wearies you. Wearies you, it gets you tired. Just because you're strong doesn't mean that you don't get exhausted. Every strong man and every strong woman gets tired. Things just keep piling on. I'm talking to somebody. Well, God can't use. No, it's because it just keeps piling on and piling on. And they just keep loading you down, and everyone that is strong has a point where they get tired. You know, my wife, we have this hope closet. You're going to learn a little bit more about that in the times to come. God's doing some miraculous things through some other ministries that we've started that we haven't talked a lot about. But God's doing some great things. But this hope's closet, which my wife is, it's a boutique for foster kids. And you have to have an appointment. I'm going to let her tell you all about it because some great things have happened. But anyway, but she said to me, she said, baby, she said, why don't we think about fostering kids? I said, I foster 700 kids on Sunday, and they about to kill me. So I ain't fostering nobody else. Yeah, I'm gonna foster them so they can foster somebody. Come on, somebody. But you just keep piling, and you see. And sometimes some people don't understand. They think you're Superman. Am I talking to anybody? They think you're Wonder Woman. When you get done with them, they're going to wonder what happened to you to make you snap is what's going to happen. But you can, everybody gets tired when they keep just getting loaded down and loaded down, especially when it's for an extended amount of time. I started to do this example today. Take the chains that I preached on a couple of weeks ago and just have somebody come up here and hold them chains with their arms out. And see how long it would last. Because how many knows you start out good? Ten minutes into it, you're going to start hurting. Because strong men and women get tired. You know, I used to consider myself a bad dude. I didn't ever start nothing, but I would finish it. Boy, that sounds arrogant. It is what it is. Babe Ruth said it ain't bragging if you can back it up. But now I realize, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Pastor, are you still a bad man? I said, I am, for 30 seconds. I'm bad for 30 seconds. If the fight lasts longer than 30 seconds, I'm done. I'm going to need some oxygen. Time out. I need some oxygen. I'm going to need a cookie. Maybe a donut. Because here's what exhaustion does. Are you ready? Exhaustion exposes your ordinariness. Pastor, is that a word? Well, all I can say is it didn't give me a spelt wrong, so yes. Exhaustion exposes our ordinariness. It exposes that you're not Superman, that you're not even Batman. When they hear us breathing heavily, they realize your humanity. You know, I've had so many preachers tell me this because I've been doing this for 30 years now, but I remember when I first started out, and preachers would tell me, don't show your church your humanity. Yeah, that's what they would say. I was like, that's stupid. Because how do they know that they can get through it unless they've known I've been through it? See, I'm not one who don't go through some trouble. Matter of fact, if you're going to do anything for Jesus, the devil's going to try to stop you. If you do anything for Jesus, you ain't got to do nothing for Jesus. If you just start doing it for yourself, I'm going to get out of being an alcoholic. I'm going to get out of being an addict. I'm going to get out of this. I'm going to stop being the devil doesn't like it. The devil doesn't applaud you. I'm so proud of you. No, he fights you tooth and toe now. Even when you're strong, God will allow you to experience storms so your roots grow deeper. Storms forces oak tree roots to go a little deeper. Sometimes when God sends a storm, he's trying to get you to have deeper roots. So when folks talk about you, you don't fall down. So that when folks talk about you, you don't fall apart. When the devil comes against you, you don't go, oh. You know, when I used to play football, I never went back to the bench and said, Coach, them people are trying to stop me. On the other side of the ball, they're trying to hit me. They're trying to strip the ball as I run. Coach, what am I to do? Because I know what he would say. He would say, you put your head down. I know you can't do that no more, but anyway, you put your head down and you run through it. You keep turning your legs and make sure it ain't the little ones that can bring you down. Make sure that they're going to have to wrap you up to, are you listening? They're going to have to wrap you up to bring you down. That they're not just going to get an arm tackle and tackle you. But you're going to have to go through it. And that's the same thing that God's trying to tell you. There are so many people who get saved and at the first obstacle fall apart, wig out, trip out, and fall apart. That's not what God is wanting you to do. So you don't believe every wind of doctrine that comes out of people's mouth. You don't believe that they're judging you and blow you down or blow you over. God used a storm, a strong east wind came to blow a dry path across the Red Sea to deliver the children of Israel. Read it for yourself, a strong east wind. Sometimes God calms the storms and other times he calms you as he allows the storms to rage. See, don't confuse the two. Storms raging all around you and you still have the still small voice of saying, peace, be still. Don't allow this to rob you of your joy. Have you ever, don't point at them if they're here, but have you ever heard, saw people that the first little trouble they get into, they throw up their hands and want to quit on God? He never promised you a rose garden. Don't allow this to keep to rob you of your joy. Keep your eyes on Jesus, because when Peter got his eyes off of Jesus, when he was walking on the water, is when he began to sink. The glory of the magnificent of God happens in its best posture when God uses a black backdrop. You shine the brightest when it's the darkest out. Somebody hear me. You go to any good jewelry store and they will take out the diamond and show it to you on a black velvet cloth so that the brilliance of that diamond can be seen clearly. Can I tell you, you're not the black drop cloth. You are the diamond that God is trying to show the world that they did not give up, they did not give in, and they're going to shine bright because they are ordinary people with an extraordinary God in them, and they will show forth the praises of Him who has set them free. You can't allow the things that you've been through to define you. See, you're not the black cloth, you're the diamond. Never allow what other humans did to you to stop His purpose in your life. Because you find your identity in Christ, not what has been done to you. I got to hurry. Come here, come on, help me. I got one more point, so I got to hurry. From time to time, from the time that you were born to the time that you die, you're a mixture of dust and divine. Ordinary with extraordinary. A natural and the supernatural. But every miracle begins with an ordinary thing. So here's point number four. Who is going to show up today? Who's going to show up today? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, let me give you this. In Genesis chapter 48 and 2. The Bible says, and it was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come, and he roused himself and sat up in bed. Now, I should have used a different translation, because the English Standard Version and the King James Version and the New King James Version, the one that Jesus used, says this. And it was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come to you. Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in the bed. Wait a minute. The scripture in the same verse called Jacob, Jacob, but also called him Israel. Jacob, whose name means supplanter, deceiver, and trickster. Jacob, that was his name. But he wrestled with God, and God gave him the name Israel, which means he that has wrestled with God and prevailed. Jacob thought that he could get away from the nature that he had as a little boy being a trickster. Somebody needs to hear me. He thought he could get away with it. Away from that nature. Well, Pastor, we've been saved and all things have become new. Yes. But how many knows that our old nature is always present with us? God told Adam, he said, sin waiteth at the door for thee. My old nature is always there. But so is my God. So is His grace. They told Jacob, your son is here. And when he heard that Joseph was there, the Bible said, Israel sat up in the bed. Now, which one is it, Jacob or Israel? Jacob was the sick man in the bed, but when they told the sick man, Jacob, your son is here, then Israel sat up in the bed. Woo! his deathbed and never got rid of Jacob. The one that was weak. Israel was God's name that the angel gave him when he wrestled to the breaking of dawn. Now listen to me. For posterity, down through the years, God purposefully chose to identify not with Israel, but Jacob, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He didn't say Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He said, throughout the ages, you ask any Hebrew, you go to the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. They never say the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God says, I want to identify with the weak part of you. I want to identify with the weak part of you. I want to identify with the part that keeps on messing up. Because when they see what I did with a somebody like you, they will glorify my name, God says. God's glory transcends the finiteness and limitations of your flesh. Jacob is in the bed, but Israel stood up, both of them coexisting. This wasn't schizophrenia. This wasn't multiple personality disorder. This was flesh and spirit. And that are constantly in war, and you want the war to end. I hate to tell you this, but as long as you're on this earth, as long as you're living, there is a war going on for you and your soul. The war never ends. You will fight till the day you die. We are soldiers in the army of God. That's why you got to pray every day and see which one of you is going to show up today. Is Israel going to show up or is Jacob going to show up? Is Ronnie the tired, I know some of y'all, I understand because, you know, this is my element, man. I've been at this church for 26 years. This is my element. And so some of you feel like, you know, man, Pastor, I just don't believe this from you. But you will not believe how shy I am. You will not believe how easily I'm intimidated. Not by everybody, but just certain ones. How often I go, God, I can't believe you used me. So every day, every Sunday and every Wednesday, when I get up here, I have to ask the question, who's going to show up? Ronnie the meek, my flesh, or Ronnie the ordinary, who's been touched by the extraordinary, my spirit man. I've come by to tell you my spirit man showed up today. I hope your spirit man showed up today. The one, I'm trying to quit, but I got to give you this. The one that you feed the most will be the strongest. Which one you show up? Well, if you don't ever feed the spirit man, your flesh is going to show up every day. But when I spend time with God and He lifts me, He dusts off the mess and the jacked upness of my life. Your natural is trying to disqualify you from the supernatural. But God is saying, even when you are Jacob, I will not allow Jacob to disqualify you from being Israel. I don't know if you're getting this, man, but I'm getting excited just preaching it. It's blessing my heart. Because God says, I'm going to get glory for what I do in your life. Pastor, how have you and Sherry stayed married for 34 years? 34
I say, it'll be 34 in February. It's 33 right now. But how have y'all been married 34? I'm prophesying 34 because we're going to make it to February. How did y'all stay married? Well, don't you realize I'm such a wonderful guy? That's why. Because, man, she would be lost without me. I mean, come on, man. No, I can tell you what it is. Is it because she's a great gal? Well, she is a great gal, but that's not the reason. Because as great as she is and as wonderful as she is, as beautiful as she is, there's a couple of times I wanted to kill her and tell God she died. I know y'all don't want to hear your pastor talk about the first lady like that, but if the first lady was up here, she'd tell you, I wanted to kill my husband a couple of times. How did you do it? It's because of the mercy and the grace of God. How do we stay married? It's by God's grace, by the supernatural. We kept, see, if, oh my God, if Ronnie the flesh and Sherry the flesh showed up continually, we would not be together. But when my spirit shows up and her spirit shows up, it's a beautiful thing. It's a marriage made in heaven. Come on, somebody. When I'm feeding my spirit and she's feeding her spirit and we're feeding each other's spirit. Oh, y'all don't get all lovey-dovey on me over here. Look at that. That's all right. That's good. That's good. Look at them. They newlyweds. They only been married how long? 3 years? 2 years. Yeah, they still newlyweds. But that's what happens. That's what happens. Tom, how long you been married? How many? 45? Man, my age. About 10 years off, but anyway. But I'm just saying, man, that's how we do it. You know. Jackie, how have you stayed with Willie? I've known Willie all his life. The grace of God, the mercy of God. How in God's name have you stayed with mercy of God? Stand at your feet with me today. Holy Spirit of God. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I give you my word, I won't embarrass you. But if you're in this place today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm not talking about you made a decision one day to serve Jesus. No, I'm asking you if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, would you slip up your hand and you can put it right back down? Anybody in this room? Then here's what I want us to do. Everybody look at me for a moment. Spirit Life team, can I have you come and stand up here? And they're just here in case you need prayer or want prayer. Spirit Life team, come on. Pastor John, come on. Come here, I need you. A lot of our Spirit Life folks are over in Daytona. Just come up here and be one for me. Now here's what I want you to ask yourself. Yeah, come on over here, Tony. Holy Spirit, can God use me? Will God use me? Now, everybody in this room, I can tell you, I'm going to go ahead and tell you the answer to this. The question that I want to ask is, which one have you been feeding? Which one are you feeding the most? And I'll tell you which one it is. It's your flesh. Why? Because I'm the pastor and it's my flesh. I promise you, it's usually your flesh. When my flesh gets hungry, I feed it. I know I work more than I pray. You know, that's where it's got to be. But how many be willing to say, Pastor, I need to this morning to take a little bit better care of my spirit man and feed it? Would you be honest? Come on. There it is. Yeah, everybody in this room. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just take, let's take 2 minutes. I know our family focus hours is going to begin. Our discipleship classes are beginning here in probably they already started at 9:45. Yeah, they already started. So let's just take a minute here and pray. Father, if you need prayer, as I begin to pray, you step out of your seat and come down here and let some folks pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I recognize that you use the ordinary, but God, sometimes we just get so tired. So God, I pray that you would uphold us with your right hand. Your right hand of power. Your right hand of anointing. Uphold us, O God. Lord, let the Israel in us stand up. Let the Israel in us stand up, but let's don't forget about Jacob. God, I know that you use the ordinary. I am ordinary. Everybody in here is ordinary. Help us to be used by you. Help us to be moved by you. Help us to let you flow through our lives to others. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen and amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.